Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
If you just tuned in, our number here is 323-203-0815. This is the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. So, all right, well, okay, I need you to tell that story again because it was so good.
Okay, so this is the great story. All right, so wait, I'm just sending, people are texting saying you're not on, but I guess
really?
We're on now. Okay,
oh,
there we go.
So funny.
All right, so this is my story. So I get a Facebook message from somebody. His name is Bert, and this is a kid that I knew back in, I think junior high, but definitely in high school.
Okay.
And so I had this horrible, horrible bicycle accident when I was 17 years old. My brakes went out. I think somebody had messed with my bike. I was traveling down this hill, and I was about to go into a very busy intersection. And I knew that I had to fall off my bike or stop or something, and I couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. I lost control of the bike, landed head first on the sidewalk in a puddle of blood. Apparently, I was unconscious for 4 hours, and I woke up in the hospital. I had been in an ambulance and all this stuff. Well, to this day, up until just this Facebook message,
yeah.
I've always attributed my being alive to my kindergarten boyfriend's mother, who I believed was that the story was somehow told to me. I don't know if my mother thought that or something, that as somebody was driving up the hill and one of the only people who stopped to call an ambulance. Well, apparently it was this kid, Bert, who I think I dated, and
Bert rescued you.
Bert actually climbed up the stairs of the various houses there. They were like far off the street, and he had to run upstairs because there was no cell phones then, of course. You know, I'm much older than you, but we haven't grown up completely with cell phones.
No,
right?
I had my first cell phone at 21.
There you go.
But
all
anyway.
Right. So, oh my gosh. So he apparently had to find somebody that was home with a landline and called, and he said that he had come in this message he sent to me that he'd come to try to visit me at the hospital, and I guess they didn't let him in or something like that. And so, like, I have Bert. He's like my hero. I'm only here today because of Bert.
I love Bert.
Because I could have died. I easily could have died.
I'm
so excited to talk to him.
That is absolutely incredible. Like, it's really funny how we always remember those like childhood things. Like, for him, it was probably really memorable too. I mean, God, imagine seeing that.
Of
and then he
course.
Probably had a crush on you, so it was like, let me save this damsel in distress, you know. Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, so I'm very that was like, wow, it's so cool that there are just amazing people in the world who
yes.
will go out of their way to help somebody. But I mean, apparently, like, it's a pretty busy street, but people, I mean, four hours on the ground,
that's ridiculous.
You see somebody lying on the ground, you would call somebody in a second. I would, anyway.
Oh my God, that's so... Do you have a scar?
I have scars everywhere, yeah. My knuckles, I have
no
a big
way.
Scar on my thigh, I have a scar on my knee. My head, fortunately, I don't have a scar.
That's
there.
Incredible.
But, I mean, oh, it was huge. I mean, it was the worst thing. Have you ever had a concussion?
No.
Oh, I've had three
no.
big ones, all within a certain, like, five-year period. The doctor said, if you get one more, you're wearing a helmet for the rest of your life. I'm like, all right, I'm tired of being reckless. No more recklessness.
I just saw the movie Concussion. It's really interesting.
Oh, I haven't
and,
seen that.
I mean, that's a great mental health topic that we can talk about.
Absolutely.
How, you know, a lot of football players get concussions, and what happens is
yes.
their brain deteriorates, and then they get
yes.
mentally ill and
well, that explains
suicidal.
It.
It's crazy, but oh my God, you poor thing.
Okay,
well,
tell me I know that you have a little sad story about
Remy. So Remy, the camp calls me yesterday. He had smashed his finger in a sliding door and the nail fell off.
Oh dear.
But the good news is immediately after it happened, he's like, can we go to Target? He was like, let me just take advantage of this injury. So we got him some toys, and he's into the
With
Wii.
With tears, did he say, Mama,
yes,
Target, please?
Exactly. Isn't that hilarious?
That is hysterical.
So I knew he was okay, though. But he's doing okay. But I have a funny story about him. This is so funny. A couple days ago, we went to Great Wolf Lodge. It was so much fun. And we're in the car, and David says, Remy, you're my favorite six-year-old. And then he says, and London, you're my favorite three-year-old. And Kelly, "You're my favorite 21-year-old. Remy says, "Dad, come on. She's not 21.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, God.
How
it's
cute.
My secret's out.
Oh, my
but,
gosh.
But, yeah, he's a precious. Pip, that one. He's a pip.
They are precious.
I know. Thank
so
God.
So precious. All right. So if you just tuned in, give us a call anytime during the show at 323-203-0815. Poor little Remy. He'll be okay, though, right?
He'll be okay.
Again, 323-203-0815. And you can always email us at docandtherapist@gmail.com. Last week, we had a great guest, Larry Brahman, the Global Career Consulting and Placement Guy. And he taught us... That was really enlightening about,
I
you know,
loved like, that.
I loved how he talked so much about that the job process, the job search process is not just about sitting online and applying. You have to get your butt out there.
It is
you have to
so
network
true.
And all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So it's really good. Yeah.
Well, it's so true. I feel like with every business, if you know somebody, of course, that's going to be your go-to person. You're not going to sit there and want to interview people. It's so much easier for both people if they know each other. So yeah, I'm all for networking. And he was great. I liked his energy a lot.
I hate complaining, but I swear to God,
you're schwitzing.
It's so hot.
You're
you
schwitzing.
Are sitting there just looking just as cool
this is so
and
funny.
Collected
well,
as ever.
So,
and I'm schwitzing. It's
well,
hot.
Deborah one's warm and I'm always cold.
Cold.
It's like when it was like 106, I'm like, man, it's not so bad.
Maybe our guest today has some helpful hints for us. Maybe there's some tapping I can do
yes.
about my schwitzing. All right. Anyway, today we have Christine Wheeler. She has been an EFT tapping practitioner since 2002, co-authored IBS for Dummies, one of the first mainstream health books to include significant information on EFT as a soothing option, and the IBS Cookbook for Dummies, as well as EFT articles on alternative health websites in her private practice in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's what the BC is, right? Okay, Christine works to help alleviate physical, emotional, and spiritual challenges with her clients and teaches EFT to parents, school counselors, and youth counselors to put this unique self-help tool into the hands of people who are caregivers for youth. And she's going to talk to us today about her new book, The Tapping Solution for Teenage Girls, How to Stop Freaking Out and Keep Being Awesome. I love it. Welcome, Christine.
Thanks, Dr. Deborah. It's nice to be here.
So are you in Vancouver right now?
I am.
It is. I love it there.
I love Vancouver.
Oh.
Whistler, it's the best.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's so green. And I'm watching the honeybees at my lavender plant right now.
Oh.
And it's a gorgeous place to be.
Oh,
and I have like an obsession with Canadians. I don't know if you know this. Every Canadian that I have met has been so nice. That's why I say I will be. If Canada were warm, I would move there in 1 second. The people are fantastic.
Well, we are quite glorious. And certain parts of Canada are very warm. Vancouver has a very similar temperature most of the year as San Francisco.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't even own a winter coat.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're quite temperate here.
Oh, that's good. All right, you're giving me hope. Canada, here we come, especially if someone becomes president. I won't say who, but I'm moving there.
I'm going to get an extra bedroom for people.
You better.
Nice. Yeah. A couple extra bedrooms.
Especially in this state, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I got to spend a couple days just this last summer after my Alaska trip. I stopped because I have a cousin in Vancouver.
Oh, really?
So I get to spend two extra days there. I love it there. It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Cool. And I like your energy, Christine. You're so relaxed and chill. And so we're not surprised
Thank
at all
you.
That you're this, you know, spiritual practitioner with some tapping.
I want to know
Thank
more about
you.
Tapping. Tell us about it.
Well, have either of you done tapping before?
I have. And I was telling Dr. Deborah that it really, really worked for me. And I also witnessed somebody else do it. I went to this camp and a practitioner did it to a woman and she had physical back pain and it was chronic. I mean, for her whole life. And then they kind of got into her history and they did some tapping and she said that she finally felt better.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
You know about my back issues.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, Christine,
Ooh.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you also talked about the schwitzing, which is happening for me as well. So maybe we'll do a little tapping for that.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's
so,
kind of the lowdown on what please. Tapping is. So its original formal name is Emotional Freedom Techniques, or EFT. So based on the principles of acupuncture and acupressure, we actually use our fingertips to tap on a series of endpoints of meridians. So they're the same acupuncture points that acupuncturists would put needles, but instead of needles, we use our fingertips. We add kind of an emotional perspective. And while we're tapping on these points, we focus our attention and our thoughts and our feelings and our energy on something that's troubling us. So that might be something emotional. So it might be an upset. It might be grief. It might be schwitzing. It might be physical pain.
For those who are not familiar with the Yiddish term of schwitzing, that's actually heavy sweating. Yes, just like spilkas is ants in the pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But they're my favorite words. Go ahead.
I've never tapped for spilkas.
Spilkas.
So funny.
So if we have physical pain, we can focus our attention on that physical pain while we're tapping, but also the emotional component that goes along with that physical pain. So it might be, I'm so frustrated at that pain. Mm-hmm. And as we tap, our pain can change and move and reduce and release, but also our emotional upset about it can release as well.
I love it. So can you tell me exactly like how you would do the tapping process? Like, where do you start? I think Kelly was showing me you start at the top of your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm gonna stir it up a bit. We actually start with what's called a setup statement. So we start tapping on the side of our hand. The top of the head comes in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the karate chop point? Is that what you're talking about?
Karate chop point. Perfect.
Okay.
So on the spot on either hand, it's the fleshy, squishy part mm-hmm. between the base of your pinky and the top of your wrist. And with your opposite hand, take two or three fingers and continually tap on that point. And that's when we create a setup statement, which is essentially drawing our attention to the issue that we want to tap on. So it sounds like this. While we're tapping continuously, even though I have this problem, I love and accept myself anyway.
Okay, and are you supposed to say the problem, or are you? Is it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I would say even though I have this lower back pain, I love and accept myself.
Right, and we would do that three times. So even though I have this lower back pain,
I love and accept myself.
Yeah.
Even though I have this lower back pain, I love and accept myself. Okay.
Even though I have this lower back pain,
I love and accept myself.
Good. And then we go to your eyebrow point. And so that's the point where the end of the hair of the eyebrow meets the bridge of your nose. On either side of your face, take one or two fingers and tap. Doesn't matter which side, you can even tap both.
And I say the
and
same
while
thing?
You're tapping nose. Sorry?
Do I say the same thing?
You know, we say a reminder phrase. So you'd say this lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
The next point is outside of your eye. It's right on the bone outside your eye, but not as far out as the temple. And you take a nice deep breath and say again, this lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
The next point is under your eye, level with your iris, right along the bone, tapping lightly. This lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
The next point is under your nose. It's in the little gully between the bottom of your nose and your lip. And again, this lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
And take a deep breath. Next point is your chin. So between the bottom lip and the chin, the little gully there, this lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
Next point is your collarbone point. So you go to the notch in your collarbone. It's about an inch on either side, and just tap along there and repeat again, this lower back pain.
This lower back pain.
And now the last point is the top of your head.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
And I say it
and
again.
So just tap along the top of your head. My understanding is that that spot on your head kind of encompasses all of your energy meridians.
Mm.
So nice deep breath. And so then I suggest that people just put a hand on your heart, take a nice deep breath, and check in with how that pain is feeling in this moment.
How's your back?
Do you notice any change?
Well, I wasn't having a lot of pain today, so I'm going to realize it. But now that I know the process, I'm going to try that anytime I start to feel that.
I feel so much calmer. I really do.
Yeah.
I feel more centered.
Yeah.
But I have a question for those who are listening. So let's say, I mean, especially...
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yes, thank you so much. So I know you targeted this for teenage girls. So I can imagine that a lot of teenage girls have, you know, they're very insecure. So let's say there was somebody who didn't like their nose or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, instead of my problem is my lower back, my problem is my nose. Like, is it okay to sort of, you know, use those phrases in tapping that are not so nice? Like, let's say somebody said my, you know, my small pig nose or my, you know what I mean? Like, do you want to keep away from the negative or it doesn't matter?
Oh, no, we have to start with the negative.
Okay.
So by tapping on the karate chop point while you're saying these negative phrases, you're actually telling your whole system that you're acknowledging that this dislike of my pig nose is a problem.
Okay.
So we're giving a voice to those voices in our heads.
That's great.
So and while you're tapping, you're actually neutralizing and calming the upset around that dislike.
This is fantastic because, I'm sorry.
No, I just have like a really curious question about, let's say, like an anorexic girl.
Yeah.
So you have an anorexic girl who perceives herself as being fat, right? But it's not truth, right? There's no truth to the fact that she's a skeleton and she's fat. Would she say, I am fat and I love and accept myself? Or is that reinforcing a distortion?
I think, believe, and experience that whatever a girl is thinking and feeling, as she taps on that, it calms it.
Okay.
So I have never had the experience where a negative phrase is reinforced through tapping.
Got it.
What I've noticed for girls is that there's almost a reframing where if they're feeling fat but they're very thin, it's like their perception actually does shift through tapping.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to start using that all the time with my clients. This is astounding.
This is absolutely... Well, I was going to ask, so is there a specific like certification for EFT or is this...
Well, there is now, and there are a few different organizations that are certifying it. I've been doing tapping since 1999, so pre any sort of certification. And so there are some organizations that do certification now.
That's amazing. Okay, and so, and for those of you who just tuned in, we're talking with Christine Wheeler. She is the author of The Tapping Solution for Teenage Girls. So obviously you targeted teenage girls, and can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been working with mostly women in my private practice for 15 years, and what I realized after a couple of weeks probably is that virtually every woman I worked with had some adult issue that was bothering her or keeping her stuck that had roots in her teenage years.
Makes sense.
So one of the big examples that always comes to mind is a woman who was a very astute businesswoman, and she had a terrible fear of public speaking, and we tapped all around that, but what actually came out as the root was she lost her bathing suit top in a public pool when she was 13 years old.
Wow.
I can relate. So, my bathing suit bottoms were falling down on my first water skiing lesson, and the guy was really cute, and I had to ask him to pull up my pants.
That's so, because you can't let go. That is,
I couldn't let go. I was afraid to fall. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. I can totally relate. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so when we tapped on that issue, which nobody would normally put together.
Sure.
Realized that she hated, in these networking events, she hated being looked at.
Aww.
She couldn't stand it to have eyes on her.
Aww.
And so when we use tapping phrases like, even though I hate having eyes on me, I deeply and completely accept myself. And within that session, she was networking all over the place.
This is incredible.
That is amazing.
I love hearing these stories.
So, Christine, I work with a lot of trauma clients, and mm-hmm. I'm trained in eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which can have a lot of impact. I'm wondering, though, tapping seems so much simpler.
Yes.
Can you use that with things like sexual abuse and childhood, traumas like that?
Yes, and there's people who specialize in that sort of work specifically. I really can't think of anything that I've not worked on with people with tapping. I've worked with many, many women who are survivors of sexual abuse. There are a team of people in the States who are working with veterans in PTSD and getting phenomenal results.
And I love it.
I always suggest that people use caution when applying the tool for themselves if they have something as deep as a PTSD.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Just to make sure you're cared for and not necessarily doing it by yourself.
And how many times do you do the tapping sequence typically? Like the sequence that we did at the beginning of the show with Dr. Deborah, like how many times would you do that?
To be honest, until you feel better.
That's what I thought.
And so each tapping round, as you notice, takes maybe a minute. But what we do is take it layer by layer. So we might start, Dr. Deborah, with this lower back pain and do a round just with those words. Then we might do a round on, like, the sensation. Like, is it hot? Is it cold? Is it spiky? Is it stabby?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And we might... Yeah, and then I might intuitively say, oh, what color is it? So we might do a round on this spiky, stabby, red hot.
Oh, it's exactly that. You got it. I was just thinking a blazing red hot fire.
That's
shooting with like gunshots in my back.
Wait, but I have a question for Christine.
Goodness.
Did you intuitively pick that up or it was just random?
Yeah.
So you're an intuitive also?
Yeah.
We love you. Would you just come here right now?
I know. Well, I don't know if you know. Well, you probably do since you're an intuitive. I'm obsessed with mediums, intuitives. That's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, it's unofficial. I think this is probably the first time I've said that publicly. I say it with my clients all the time, but now I've put myself out there.
You've outed yourself. That's it. We're fans.
But it's funny. Most intuitives that I know, they're very hesitant to say it and put it out there. I have a very, very good friend who is absolutely an intuitive, and she just kind of won't admit to it. Like, she's like, no. But every time she does a reading for me, it's like right on. But I wonder if you feel the hesitation because it's a whole new realm or people don't believe it, or what's the hesitation about?
The hesitation is that it isn't the first thing that comes to mind when I describe how I work with people.
I see. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because the tapping is very much a technique. Mm-hmm. So it's a formula. We do it the same way every time.
Right. Okay.
But it seems that the way I get different, deeper results is because I started listening to the intuition. And and just to give you and listeners an idea is that it started with goosebumps. So I would be tapping on something with someone, so say it was the red fiery pain, and I would start getting goosebumps, and I began to realize from the feedback with the client that the goosebumps meant that was right.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
It's so cool.
I'm getting goosebumps now.
Oh
my gosh, me too. And so then it would be, so the goosebumps was how it started, but then it would be words. So, and this was one of my early clients was someone who had a fear of public speaking. Again, it's one of my specialties. I work with lots of actors. And intuitively, I had no idea why, I asked her if anyone had ever put their hands at her throat.
Wow.
And they had.
Wow.
It had happened. It can be traumatic, obviously, for some people. For her, it was just something that happened in passing. Mm. But when we released, I look at it as the cellular memory or the imprint it leaves on the body. Mm-hmm. When we released that, she spoke at a memorial service for a dear friend without cue cards.
Wow.
And got a standing ovation.
Oh. I'm thinking as you're talking, I have a huge vomit phobia.
Oh, yeah. Let's get rid of that.
And can we do
Come
some
on,
tapping?
Do
and I'm curious if you get anything intuitive about that, because I don't know where this is coming from, but it's a huge vomit phobia and like a sickness. Yeah.
When do you want to do that now?
Yeah.
If you have a moment.
Well, she does. She's our captive audience today.
I have 25 moments.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I'll do it.
So take a deep breath.
Okay.
And so when did you first notice that this was a problem?
So, I mean, it has a little bit of a history. My brother would get migraines. So he was probably about, I don't know, 9 or so. And so he would throw up like once every couple months.
And how old were you?
I was probably 7.
Okay. So let's go to your karate chop point.
Okay.
And just as we're tapping, I want you to notice what you notice in your body. And feel free to just let me know. And if any thoughts or feelings or other memories come to mind, just let me know.
Nervous.
So we're going to karate chop point.
Okay.
Even
though my brother got migraines.
And I didn't. I love and accept myself anyway. Still on your karate chop point.
Even though he got migraines and barfed. And I had to smell the barf. That happened long ago.
It's over.
That's over.
And I'm okay. Deep breath. Are you noticing anything in your body?
I felt a relief when you said I'm okay.
Okay.
Even though that happened to him. And maybe it was scary for me. That happened and it's over. And I'm safe now.
Deep breath. Now we go to your eyebrow point.
Okay. I have a vomit phobia.
Outside of your eye. Well, vomit is gross. Under your eye. Nobody likes it. Under your nose.
But it really affects me negatively.
On your chin.
I don't know why I have such an aversion.
Collarbone point. But all parts of me know why I hate it. Under your arm.
And I'd rather release that discomfort at a cellular level.
Top of your head.
I don't need to be comfortable with vomit.
Eyebrow.
I just want to be more neutral about it.
Nice deep breath. Put a hand on your heart. And just notice if anything feels any different.
I definitely feel like more serene. It's really common.
How do you know?
I don't know. Even the first time I did it, when Dr. Deborah was doing it, like, I just feel more centered, like anchored.
Huh. Yeah. So I want you to think about vomit.
Okay.
And what do you notice just thinking about vomit? What is it about it that gives you...
It's the smell and it's the anticipation. It's worse when other people vomit. I don't like it for me, but it's definitely worse when other people do it.
So you said the word anticipation, and I'm curious about that. Mm-hmm. What do you think you're anticipating?
It's sort of like, when is it going to happen? And so it's like, especially with kids, it's like, don't know. And so I think that's, for me, it's like almost like when it's done, it's like, okay, it's fine, it's over, I can sort of deal. But it's almost like, when is it going to happen? Is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen in an hour? Is it going to...
So your anticipatory anxiety is worse than the actual event.
Totally.
So when one of your little people gets a flu or something,
anxiety,
so
up
just,
the
we're
roof.
We're going to skip the karate chop point because that feeling that lets us know that you're already right there.
Okay.
Well, as soon as Remy or London gets sick,
am I doing the eyebrow point?
Oh yeah, you're tapping on your eyebrow point and repeating after me. As soon as Remy or London gets sick.
As soon as Remy or London gets sick.
Outside of your eye. I anticipate vomit.
I anticipate vomit.
Under your eye. I get pulled out of their feeling sick.
I get pulled out of their feeling sick.
Under your nose. And worrying about them being sick.
And worry about them being sick.
Collarbone. I'd rather neutralize my reaction to vomit.
I'd rather neutralize my reaction to vomit.
Collarbone. My brother was a vomiter.
My brother was a vomiter.
Under your arm. And that left an imprint on me.
And that left an imprint on me.
Top of your head. Maybe when I was seven, I was always waiting for him to be sick.
Maybe when I was seven, I was always waiting for him to be sick.
What do you think of that phrase?
It's funny because a therapist also told me that once, that maybe he was almost, you know, subconsciously he was getting all this attention from my mom and things like that. But yeah, you know, on a conscious level, that feels crazy. But maybe when I'm seven, it's like, you know, my older brother is getting all this attention.
Yeah. So eyebrow point, we're just going to keep tapping.
Okay.
So if he got all this attention.
If he got all this attention.
Outside of your eye. Maybe the smell of vomit reminds me of not getting attention.
Ooh, maybe the smell of vomit reminds me of not getting attention.
Under your eye. What do I do to get attention?
What do I do to get attention?
I was only seven.
I was only seven.
On your chin. So my genius brain came up with this aversion to vomit.
So my genius brain came up with the aversion to vomit.
Collarbone, instead of an aversion to my brother.
Instead of an aversion to my brother.
Under your arm. I'm just making this stuff up.
I'm just making this stuff up.
Top of your head, but if it fits, I'd like to release it.
But if it fits, I'd like to release it.
At a cellular level.
At a cellular level.
Nice deep breath. Hand on your heart. And Kelly, just notice what you're thinking and feeling.
My heart feels like it's racing a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice deep breath. Let's go to your eyebrow point. My heart is racing a little.
My heart's racing a little.
Outside of your eye. And that's kind of uncomfortable.
And that's kind of uncomfortable.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Under your eye. I'd rather feel calm and more comfortable.
I'd rather feel calm and more comfortable.
Under your nose. I'd rather feel more peaceful about my brother and vomit.
I'd rather feel more peaceful about the vomit and my brother.
On your chin. I'd rather feel more neutral about my vomity brother.
I'd rather feel more neutral about my vomity brother.
I hope he's listening.
It would be so funny.
On your collarbone. It wasn't his fault that he was so vomity.
It wasn't his fault he was so vomity.
Under your arm. And it's not my fault that I hated vomit.
And it's not my fault that I hated vomit.
Top of your head. I'd rather feel more neutral.
I'd rather feel more neutral.
How are you doing? How's your heart?
Okay. It feels better. It feels better.
Was it poundy or racy?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, because also a lot of times when we tap, we have a physical release.
Oh.
And so some people get sweaty or yawny or giggly or heart racy a bit. We just don't want to leave it feeling unpleasant for
okay.
you.
Well, what we could do, because I don't want to take up all your time because I want to hear more about you and I don't want this to be, but I can do another tapping session after the show to make sure that I'm okay.
Yeah.
But it's so great because now I know the technique.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, intuitively, did you pick up anything that I should know about?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, and often what happens is, especially at that age, we're picking up like sponges in our environment. Mm. And so I'm curious about whether there was a time when his pain was frightening to you.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense.
And so when there's a phobia or an aversion like that, and I'm not suggesting this is in your case, but sometimes mm-hmm. it isn't even yours.
Oh.
So I wonder if your brother could do some tapping on that vomity time of his life as well.
Oh, that's so interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's just that concept of cellular memory. It's like, well, if I share cells with my siblings
mm-hmm.
and my parents and these people I'm related to, then why can't I, if I have my dad's blue eyes, why can't I have his mm-hmm. fear of ducks or whatever?
Sure, exactly. Yeah. So interesting. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so awesome. Obviously, Deborah and I are super open to it. Have most of the people that have come into your office, especially teens, have they been open to this?
Interesting question. Girls who come into my office are not always open to it
mm-hmm.
until they've done some tapping with me, then they're in love with it. But part of the problem has been our dear beloved parents
uh-huh.
who are desperate for their kids to tap.
Oh.
And so part of why I wrote this book was the moms and dads who were avid tappers with me or with other people in the world would say, and I quote, "How do I make my daughter tap?"
Right.
Well, you can't.
Not a good question, don't. Right?
Yeah. So step away from the tapping.
Step
and
away.
So I started sending home tapping scripts for my clients' kids
mm.
to take off into the other room and tap on their own, and you know, gave the parents strict guidelines to just leave them to it and don't even ask about it. And then the report would come back that, you know, Jenny stopped biting her nails or Jenny
wow.
got an A on her report card. And
it's amazing.
When girls are left to it on their own, they will tap. And one of the startling things to me when I was working with teens and children one-on-one is how quick it was, because uh-huh. they don't have the layers of stuff.
Oh, that's a good point.
So we would have this one-hour session, and they would literally be done in 5 minutes.
Incredible. Mm.
Wow.
And I would say, so, you know, what about that clown you were afraid of? What are you talking about? I was like, what clown?
They don't even remember.
Forget.
Wow.
It would be fun. And so that's why I needed to write this mm-hmm. book was, and there's about 100 different things that girls can tap on. And if they take the book and go to the other side of the house, go to their room and tap, having that at their fingertips, literally, to
mm-hmm.
give them stress relief and release and confidence and all those things is just, oh my gosh, it's
such a concrete tool.
I love this.
I just love it.
I have a million things to tap about, but yeah.
Christine, yeah. I have a question for you, because I know in the publishing world, having written a few books myself, that publishers are always, you know, pushing us toward write for women, write for girls, but can't this work for boys too?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. What?
Oh, my gosh. I like it. It's the shorthand version.
Exactly. We're speaking Yiddish. Come on.
It absolutely works for boys. And this book actually started as tapping for teens.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a teen consultant named Cassidy who worked on bits of the book with me. And we came up with about 120 things for girls to tap on alone before
mm-hmm.
we even got to a list for boys.
Got
so
it.
I knew it had to be a girls-only book.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Boys love tapping as well. I have worked with many boys and young men, and it's universal. There's this book just happens to be for girls, and I think it's written in a way that, you know, except for the chapter on that time of the month, that mm-hmm. boys can use the scripts exactly the same way throughout the book and sure. get relief for themselves.
And I imagine for adults as well, because a lot of our, like you said, most of our carryover stuff, most of the stuff we have as adults mm-hmm. is carryover from childhood, whether that was from teenager or even younger.
Yes.
Thank you for asking that, because I specifically wrote an appendix, Appendix B, for parents.
Oh.
And it's how to use this book to help yourself. Mm. So it's guiding adults to use this whole book, everything in the book, for themselves, for their own teenage traumas and upsets and hurts and fears and anxieties.
This is...
I love it.
Absolutely fantastic. One more thing. I'm so impressed that you wrote the IBS book for dummies and then the IBS cookbook for dummies. And I'm mm-hmm. curious... Someone had said to me that most of the people that she knows who have IBS have a gluten sensitivity. And I'm just curious if you've noticed that, or it's mostly related to stress, or I don't know. Just love your opinion about that.
That's so interesting you asked me that, because I was wondering if the book that I co-wrote, those two books, would come up. Mm-hmm. I had IBS.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister had IBS, and our father had IBS. We all had a gluten sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when I was going to say released gluten, when I stopped eating gluten-y stuff,
uh-huh.
I still had IBS symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so I have worked with hundreds of people with IBS.
Uh-huh.
And I do not like to generalize.
Sure.
But I look at IBS as someone's pressing a button. Like someone's pushing your buttons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that button happens to be in your GI tract or mm-hmm. wherever the problem is.
Sure.
And I would say 7 times out of 10, when I ask the question, whose finger mm-hmm. is on that button, the women said their mother.
Mm. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. And so to take this to a ridiculous point,
wow.
My sister and I, the two IBS sisters, we were visiting our mother, who was in palliative care, so she was end of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting across from each other in the waiting room, and we heard her buzzer go in her room, and she and I looked at each other, and we both ran to the washroom
at the same time.
Oh, my God.
So literally, our mother was pressing the button, and we ran to the bathroom.
That's interesting.
Incredible.
Wow.
So then I put 3 and 4 together and started tapping in a different way about IBS.
So literally, it can, even if your mother's not around, it's the internalization of your mother. Which is what haunts so many people. I mean, long after parents pass, people are still struggling with those buttons.
Gosh.
Exactly. And who's, you know, if there's a voice in your head, whose voice is that?
Exactly.
Who's saying that to you? That's not you talking. Whose voice is it?
Exactly. Oh, this is so interesting. I have loved this show.
It's so funny because just the other day, one of my clients, she had often told me about her grandmother and her mother, who were both hyper, hyper critical and pretty mean to her. And she was in the session and she started saying, I hate myself. I have so much self-hatred. And I looked at her and I said, when did you become your grandmother? And it was amazing because I didn't expect her to actually laugh. She cracked up laughing. It was like the best release for her. It's like, you're right. I'm talking to myself just like I'm my grandmother. It was like this. I'm going to tap with her. I love this.
Oh, perfect. Oh, my gosh. That's so fun.
I'm going to seek you out for some consultation. Are you open to that?
Oh, my gosh. That's my world.
That's so cool.
Oh,
and can you do it remote? You can do it over the phone or Skype?
All over the world. I use phone, Skype, texting.
That's amazing.
This is great.
We've been talking.
Great resource.
We've been talking with Christine Wheeler. She is the author of The Tapping Solution for Teenage Girls. So can you give us your website and where we can find your book and all that good stuff?
Yes, I'm at ChristineWheeler.com. If you go to my website, all the links on online booksellers are there on my website. And if you scroll down a little bit, put in your receipt number, and then you get some free gifts from me, which are some tapping audios for teenagers.
Ah, cool.
And some e-books for tapping. One is for tapping for worried parents.
Ooh, I can use that. Oh, my God.
And the other one is tapping for creative blocks. So part of what I do is work with artists and writers and actors, and
oh, cool.
I help people tap on the things that are interfering with their creativity.
This is awesome. Christine, you're like, for me, finding a new island that I didn't know existed.
Oh, Dr. Deborah, that's probably the sweetest thing I've ever heard. I've always wanted to be an island.
Oh.
Thank you.
It's like I can't wait to make my airline tickets.
Exactly.
And go.
Such
a good... let's play.
For sure, for sure. No, this is really, I mean, it's so enlightening. You know, just I've been in the field for 30 years, and you know, there's always something that one can learn that's like, it just mm-hmm. like, wow, this is so simple. I can't believe that I have not really been enlightened to this. You know, I really stuck with the EMDR, but I find that a lot of people are really resistant to EMDR because you've got this machine with the lights, and they feel like intimidated by it, and we're going to be talking about trauma, and they're going to relive their trauma, and this sounds like it's so much simpler, and it doesn't really regurgitate all the details of the experience.
The trauma.
Yeah, at all, and especially with young people, they might not know what the problem is, and they might not want to tell you what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So I tap, even though I have this secret problem.
Mm-hmm.
I love it except myself.
That's great.
That's great.
So you can still work with them, and they don't feel like they have to tell you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is like magic.
I'm
so excited. I feel I'm 12 years old, and I'm so excited to go to the party.
Well, and Christine seems so sweet. Like,
you
just seem so sweet and warm and nurturing.
I love people.
Oh, that's nice. Well, that comes through.
And I love being able to share this work with parents and caregivers and teenagers and children who can go in the other room and do it for themselves and in minutes, every age. My mom, who died at 81, was tapping right until her last moment.
Wow.
Even though she had said, when I first told her the work I did, "Isn't that just a little bit evil, dear?"
I mean, while she's been doing it. Yeah.
Incredible. My goodness. Well, thank you so much. You have been an awesome guest, and it was really special to actually be able to give our listeners hands on going through a problem and sort of seeing that visually without actually being able to see. But I'm thinking their mind's eye, being able to have a really good concept of what that looks like.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yay.
And let me know how the vomity feeling is.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, you don't know Kelly's kids. They're young, so they can't listen to this show yet, but I swear to God, she's going to go home and one of them is going to vomit.
Yes.
They're so delicious that way. They're just going to give you, right in front of you, they're just going to make that. They're going to test you.
Of course.
That's amazing.
But I have a tool now.
Well, and Dr. Deborah, let me know how the back pain feels as well.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yes. No, I'm definitely going to get in touch with you. I would like to hire you for a couple of hours of consultation to start working this into my practice.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much,
Thank you
Christine.
So much. So if you want to find Christine, go to her website. As she said, there's lots of goodies there, www.christinewheeler.com. Oh, my. Okay.
So cool.
God, that went so fast.
So fast.
Oh, my gosh. So next week we have Walter O'Brien, who is from
Scorpion. So he's a computer computer wizard, exactly. So
what would it be like to be like the smartest person, one of the smartest people on the planet? That would scare the shit out of me.
I would have no clue. Well, it's so funny because if you ask people, would be interested to see, like, would you want to be the prettiest person in the world? Would you want to be the smartest person in the world? Would you want to be, the most efficient people? Like, everybody has their thing, but I think I'd like
to be the most peaceful person on the planet.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Like Thich Van Thong. What's her name? The Buddhist person.
Yeah. fuck the looks, because those all go anyway.
It's so true.
I was dying to do the F-bomb today. I had it in me.
Exactly. And then it came out.
And then it did. All right, Kelly, so, it's always just delicious to spend time with you.
So much fun. So all visit our website, docandtherapist.com. Add us on Twitter, at doctherapist1. And anytime, you can email us, docandtherapist@gmail.com.
Yay. Have a great one. See you next week. Talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.